Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Go ahead and pray. Get into the message tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom we have to meet together openly. We thank you that many men gave their lives that we might have the Word of God in our language. May we never take for granted what we can read. Lord, I do pray for the believers in Laos right now that you will continue to protect them and grow the churches there and multiply them. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the service tonight. Help me to explain clearly what your word says. May every one of us be encouraged to go where you want us to. Be faithful in sharing your gospel. And thanks for the opportunity to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. We come into this passage, and as we take a minute to break it down, I believe we're looking at the first missionary call of the Bible. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, called to be a missionary, or called to missions, or some phrase like that, about the call to missions? Okay. Has anyone ever described what that actually sounds like to you? No, it's one of those buzzwords we get going in our independent Baptist circles, but we never actually explain. What does this mean? Well, I think this verse right here explains a lot of what it means pretty well. This is a situation. Abram is a 75-year-old man. His wife Sarai is 65 years old. They live in the city Ur of the Chaldees. And one day, God speaks to Abraham and says, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I want to take a minute and break down exactly what God was telling him to do. There's four different things he tells him. The first thing he says, get thee out of thy country. Now that sounds like the call to missions right there. Hey, Abraham. Actually, Abram at this time, his name has not been changed yet. I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go somewhere else. Somewhere that's not your house that you're comfortable in, but you're going to be dwelling in tents wandering through the desert. It means all the possessions you've made, built up over your entire lifetime, stay here and you go without. It means that the money that you've made will not be the currency spent where you're going. It means the language you speak isn't what they're going to be speaking when you get over there. The culture you're comfortable with, the way that you're used to doing things, and this is the right way to do it to you, is going to be the wrong way to do it over there. Anybody ever run into culture shock? Where what you think is the nicest thing to do and best way to do it is an insult to the other people? Poor Abram, he didn't have Rosetta Stone to learn the language. He didn't have Lonely Planet travel guides. He didn't have a jet to fly him out of Ur. He had it tough. All of his friends are going to stay in Ur and he's going to be with them. It's a tough way to go. Believe it or not, that is the easiest part of the command right there. Get thee out of that country. Because as we go to the next thing, he says, and from thy kindred. Abram, I want you to leave your family behind. Abram, all of your cousins, siblings, nieces, nephews, they'll stay here in Ur and you're going to go without. The next time there's a birthday, guess who's missing the celebration, Abram? Hey, the next time somebody gets married, you won't even know it. Somebody dies, you won't be there to mourn it. The whole city of Ur could be pillaged, destroyed, gone. Abram would never know. Likewise, there's going to be nobody to celebrate with Abram. There's going to be nobody to know whatever happens to Abram. He doesn't have Twitter and texting and Facebook, and he doesn't even have the U.S. Postal Service. There's no communication for he's going back to his family. What God's saying is, Abram, I want you to cut all ties to the people you love most and go obey me. And that really fits in with what Jesus said. If any man hate not his father and mother and sister and brethren and wife and children and yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Abram's commanded, leave everything you love to show your love to me is greater. And then God continues on, even more things that he asked of Abram. And from thy father's house. Now you think, okay, that's redundant. That's his family. No. There's some cultural things here. Abram lives in the Eastern culture, where who you are is completely dependent on who is your dad. How many of you have ever run across so-and-so son of so-and-so son of so-and-so son of so-and-so in your Bible? Or the infamous begat chapters? Okay. How many of you will admit right now you have glazed over and gone, God, when can I get to something interesting? Anybody willing to admit that right now? Okay. We're Americans. We don't care who his dad is and who his dad is and who his dad is. We don't care about the family trees. We want to know what you're doing. Because Western culture, America, we say who you are is what you do. Eastern culture, they say who you are is your lineage. Who's your dad? It's still that way in Thailand and Laos. They don't care what you do. They want to know who is your lineage. First job I applied at in Thailand. 2 full pages of family tree they want me to fill in. I don't know that much of my extended family. They gave me this much room to write where I went to school, what I learned, and what past experience I have. Because they don't care about that. That doesn't matter. Who you are is based on who is your family. And that's the culture Abram's in. Who he is who is his dad, who is his grandpa, who's his great-grandpa, who's his great-great-grandpa, and on and on and on. So now he leaves Ur, where all of these descendants, or all of the men he's descended from have lived, and he wanders out to where God sends him, and they ask him, who are you? I'm Abram. We've never heard that name. Who's that? I'm the son of Terah. Don't know who that is. Well, he's the son of Nahor. We don't know who that is. And he goes up the family tree and names person after person after person, and they go, never heard of him, never heard of him, never heard of him. And they finally say, nobody. You are nobody. Because they've got nothing else to attach it to. And here's the point. A missionary is nothing more than God's nobody. To be a missionary has to be renouncing everything that you could have ever bragged on yourself. Everything you thought made you important is left behind, and you're going to where you are the nobody. Isn't that what Jesus did? He left his glory in heaven to become what men looked at as a nobody. There's a second aspect to this father's house. In the Eastern culture, in the Middle East today, it's still not changed. Your safety is having a lot of male relatives around you. Your father's house. Somebody does you wrong, your dad, your sons, your brothers, your male cousins, your nephews, your uncles, they all get together and they all get vengeance. Most of the time, the result of that is this family now gets together and comes against vengeance on somebody over here and then back. I mean, we see it. The Muslims hate the Jews because nearly 4,000 years ago, God picked Isaac, not Ishmael. We've got the Sunni and the Shia. Why? Because over 1,300 years ago, Muhammad died, and 2 different men stood up and said, I'm the next successor, and their followers are still killing each other over 1,000 years later. That's the kind of culture that Abram lived in, the Middle Eastern culture. His safety is his big family around him, his father's house. And God says, I want you to leave that. So now you're wandering through the desert with no male relatives here with you, living somewhere you've never been, and something happens to you, none of them are going to know about it to come do anything to help you. That sounds dangerous. He had to say, God, I trust you more to take care of me than all of my family put together. Say it this way. I have to realize God can take care of us better than a communist third world country that's trying to kill every Christian than I can take care of me here in America with everything that I can provide for myself. Then we come to the last part of the call. And I believe it's the hardest. Unto a land that I will show thee. Can I put that in today's English? I'll tell you when you get there. Does that sound like fun? How many of you ladies would love it if your husband came home and said one day, "Hey dear, God's called, we're going to leave home, we're going to start traveling, and He'll tell us when to stop"? How many of you think that sounds crazy? Sorry, sweetheart, I've been doing that to you all over this country on deputation. That's the hard one. Say, "God, you want me to start going, and you're not going to tell me where we're headed until we're there." That's part of the missions call. I knew Laos is where God wanted me to go. I had no idea what it was really going to be like. I've had the opportunity to teach in 3 different schools overseas. When I went to South Korea in 2007, all I knew when I landed in the airport in Seoul was that I needed to find Minsu. I had no idea what he looked like. 2 years after that, I flew to Bangkok. I needed to find Solomon. I didn't know what he looked like either. 2 years after that, I'm back in Bangkok. I know the area. That's not a problem. I know how to get to the cabs. I know how to take a cab to the bus station. I take the bus 11 hours out to the city of Nakhonpanom. This is the last stop, furthest point away from Bangkok you can be. The bus stops, drops me off, and turns around and heads for Bangkok. You've got 2 supports and an awning over the top and 4 chairs. One of the support posts has a phone on it, payphone. I don't know the name of the man I'm calling. I just have his phone number. Well, obviously God's taking care of me or I wouldn't be here today. I have to say, "Okay, God, I don't know exactly what I'm doing. I don't know how this is going to work, but you said go. Start going and let God show you the rest." But along with the call, God gives some amazing promises. Look at all the things God promised Abraham. Starting in verse 2, we read, "And I will make of thee a great nation." I want you to understand, this is a 75-year-old man with a 65-year-old wife, and they have no children. How do you get a great nation out of that? Now, 25 years later, God has changed their names to Abraham and Sarah, and she has Isaac as a 90-year-old. From Isaac, we get Jacob. His name's changed to Israel. We have the entire nation of Israel today because Abraham obeyed there. They're descended from him now. He had his promise fulfilled that God would make a great nation. Because God said, go, he would. What else did God say? "And I will bless thee and make thy name great." The name of Abraham is great today. Anywhere people preach the Word of God, they're going to bring up Abraham. He's in the Bible. Anywhere people corrupt the Word of God, they're still going to end up naming Abraham. So that the cults and the Catholics, and won't give them all the time naming everybody, are still going to mention Abraham. The Jews, of course, are going to brag on Abraham everywhere they go because they are so proud they're descended from him. And amazingly, the Muslims, who hate the Word of God, who are in opposition to God, are going to proclaim Abraham so that there's hardly a place in this world that doesn't have somebody naming the name Abraham. God promised to make his name great, and he's done exactly that. What else did he say? "And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Study the history of Israel, just from the Word of God, you see that time and again. Those that blessed Abraham, those that blessed his descendants, have been blessed. Those that were in opposition have been cursed. You think of the book of Esther. Haman builds the gallows, plans to have Mordecai hung on them and the Jews wiped out. Haman ends up hanging on the gallows. And his household's wiped out. Cyrus tells the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple, and the Persian Empire was greatly blessed. We think of modern history. Hitler, we're going to kill out all the Jews. Wipe them all out. Ended up committing suicide in his own body. Stalin wrote up a plan to kill every Jew in the Soviet Union. That was the last command he wrote, and he never got to execute it. God let him kill a lot of people, but when he singled out the Jews, God said that's the end of it. He blesses those who bless and curses those who curse. Why does Abraham get this promise kept? Because he went where God said go. And the final promise, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'm blessed in Abraham. And if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you are too. Because through Abraham came Jesus Christ. You say, that's great. You've helped me understand what you go through as a missionary, but what does that have to do with me? If we turn to Matthew 28, you find a command in Matthew 28. Wouldn't be surprised if many of you can quote it. You hear it probably every missionary that comes through. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have a missionary call to every one of us. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go around the world to Laos, but it does mean you have to leave your father's house here, leave your spiritual kindred, into a lost world down the street here, North Ridgeville, Elyria, Cleveland. I don't remember all the communities, but I've seen a lot of them through the day. There are lost people there that need the gospel too, aren't there? And you've got a missionary call to go reach them. We've got the missionary call to reach last. While we're here in America, we've got the missionary call to be reaching Americans. Because our command starts to go. What am I supposed to do as I go? I'm supposed to teach them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Show them what He did for them. Those that believe need to be baptized. And then, we've got that final part of the job to teach them everything that Jesus commanded. We've got a lot of work to do. But why do we have such a big command? All Abraham had to do was go. We've got to do all these other things. Abraham didn't have as near as much to work with as we do. You realize God told Abraham to go before any of this was written? He didn't have a Bible. He had to have faith in God without any substantial thing he could hold on to. We've got the Word of God. We've got so much more to work with. There was no gospel of Jesus Christ. There had not been a death, burial, resurrection. There was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That didn't come until after Jesus that ascended on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. We've got so much more to work with. That's why we've got such a big command. But He didn't leave us without promise. In verse 20 He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's stop and think about it. Everything God promised Abraham, a great nation, a great name, everyone that blessed Him would be blessed, everyone that cursed Him would be cursed. All the world would be blessed in Him, all families. And you compare that to you can have the presence of Jesus Christ presently with you at all times. I'll take the presence of Jesus Christ over everything Abraham was offered. We got a better promise that came with our command. But we do have that same beginning of the command. We need to get ourselves out and we need to make sure we're going. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Pastor? Might be a good time to make sure you're going. Well, where do I go? Unto a land that I will show thee. God's not going to guide you to anything, to anyone, if you're not already starting to go. I've heard the expression, God can't steer a parked car. It's that concept. We get going, then God will say, this is the person, this is the person, this is the person. But if you sit there and say, God, you show me who I need to go to next, and then I'll get up and go. I'll sit here and wait and wait, and God's saying, you're not going, I can't direct you. It's unto a land that I will show you. So I want to encourage you to go.